Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies, Memphis, and more. Presented by the Majestic Grill. Rediscover downtown dining. Chris Harrington on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show.
Chris, my friend, what are we listening to?
That is the Dwight Yoakam version of the old Jimmy Rogers Blue Yodel number one, T for Texas, T for Tennessee, in honor of the temporary alliance between Memphis and Dallas to bring down Oklahoma City.
Okay. Now, those are fighting words because I've been a staunch Oklahoma City supporter. I believe Oklahoma City is going to the NBA Finals this year, and I still believe that after last night. What do you think about that?
That may be true, but there's, I think there's more resentment in the city of Memphis, among Grizzlies fans at least, towards OKC than there would be towards Dallas and Minnesota. So I think there's, you know, an alliance to bring down OKC. I think OKC in the NBA Finals out of the West is the worst case scenario for like the general like, you know, welfare of Grizzlies fandom.
I'm cheering for the rivalry to pick up. I want it to happen. So maybe I'm against Grizzlies fans. I just think it would be so fun. And I'm with you. I see it. I see the vision there, but I do think that Oklahoma City in the end would be the best rivalry just because it's regionally a little bit more specific and there's a past history there and the teams are around the same age. And Oklahoma City is, frankly, stealing everything from Memphis. Did you see that the Beale Street Flippers were at the Thunder game last night?
Yeah. No, that's definitely the biggest rivalry. And you know, it's not just the three previous playoff series. You can go back. I actually wrote a piece about this for ESPN back in the day when I was the true Memphis columnist. Beyond just those series, the Tony Allen, All Heart, Grit, Grind speech that happened on the sideline in Oklahoma City. The Marc Gasol, Zach Randolph bust his butt mark, you know, near fight with Kendrick Perkins with the Oklahoma City game, and even getting into the more modern era, you know, the NBA record for biggest beatdown in NBA history was Grizzlies over Thunder a few years ago.
Do you think that this series is now wide open again now that Dallas won a game, or where do you think we stand here?
I do, because my pre-playoff pick, many of which have already been wrong, so I've been wrong about many things. But before the playoffs started, I had Mavericks beating the Thunder in the second round and getting to the Western Conference Finals. So that was my prediction before the playoffs started. The Luka health thing made me, and how good OKC has looked early, made me sort of ease back on that going into the series. But I think if Luka can be the best version of Luka, I think the Mavericks can absolutely win this series.
And with Cleveland and Boston, that's still over, right? That was just a one-off. Why do you think Boston just has these hiccups? Oh, it seems like almost every series this happens. Why is this happening?
We'll find out. we'll find out a lot about the Celtics in Game 3 because, you know, to your point, in the first round, back, they lost Game 2 at home to Miami, and that ended up being just a blip, and you know, 1-5. I think that is the most likely scenario here, that Game 2, if the series will end up looking like a blip at the end of the series. But I thought beginning of the season that Cleveland was going to enter the top tier in the East along with, you know, Boston and Milwaukee and Philly. I think Cleveland has the talent to play with Boston. I just it's hard to believe in it based on the way Cleveland looked in the first round. So it wouldn't shock me if Cleveland made this a series, but I'm still not counting on that. With Boston, I mean, obviously they're down. They're not a super deep team. They're down one of their starters. And Porzingis, of course, Cleveland is down their starter at the same position. I think the question people are really asking about Boston is how good is their best player? And Tatum has sort of been elevated to this, you know, top five, top 10 player in the league level because he's been the best player on this really good team. But the more you watch in these playoff games, he's a level below your typical best player on a title team. And he's just not been the takeover the game finishing player in these playoffs. And I think there's reason to wonder. You look around, you see, well, this is, you know, you got Luka and you got Shea and you got the way Brunson's playing, the way Mitchell's playing. You still got Jokic. Tatum doesn't look as sharp as those guys, you know?
I was going to say, if I gave you the option to trade Jason Tatum for Gilgeous Alexander, if you were picking a person to lead your team in the playoffs, I think you would take Shea at this point.
I mean, Shea just finished second in the MVP vote, you know, and so I think he is, I think in your tier and your ranking of NBA players or whatever, I think for the moment at least, several guys have passed Tatum, and Shea is top of the list probably.
Where do you think Ja falls in this category?
Well, Ja is so out of sight, out of mind that he's below all these guys we're talking about, but he can crash that party very quickly next season if he gets back on track and back on the floor and just reminds everybody. I mean, Ja is someone who was second team all NBA. He finished seventh in the MVP vote. So, you know, that's top 10 MVP, second team all NBA. That is the category of player we're talking about when we talk about Jason Tatum and we talk about Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and we talk about Jalen Brunson, who just finished fifth in the MVP. We talk about those guys. That's like second tier stuff, right? First tier is like you actually right at you're winning an MVP or you're leading a title team. That's a Jokic and Giannis and the previous generation of LeBron and Curry and Durant. That's a different kind of tier. But that sort of just below knocking on the door tier where Shea and Brunson and Tatum sort of are, Ja's been there. He's just got to get back to that.
Do you think you'll go to a lot of Minnesota games when you're there? Like, do you suspect that, like, if they're not playing on the same night as the Grizzlies, you may be?
Not unless they're going to give me free tickets. Or not unless they're going to give me a media pass. I probably won't, honestly. Yeah, there's only so much in the budget, you know.
Yeah,
I got kids to put through college these days. One in college and one, you know, will be headed there. So I'm probably not going to spend a lot of money going to sporting events that I pay out of pocket for these days. But yeah, maybe I'm sort of interested in maybe, you know, no one from the Minnesota Timberwolves is listening, so it doesn't matter if I say this on Memphis radio. But I'll probably look into like trying to do some kind of Mike Conley story during the season next year if I can get some access to do that.
Yeah, that would be great. Okay, so lottery this weekend. I was trying to think, in preparation for hosting for Jeff, I was trying to think of the most Jeff Calkins-like question I could ask you that maybe you would shake your head at. This is the best I could do. Ready? This is what I came up with.
All right, do it.
If I gave you the option to stay at 7 with no possibility that you could move back in this NBA draft, would you take it?
Oh, no. I think the difference, it's hard to know exactly how it pans out. Like, maybe there's a chance if you want Klingon, he's there at 7, he's not there at 8. So I get there's potential risk there. But I think, you know, the gap between 7 and 8 in this draft from a distance doesn't feel like it means much. And so, like, I'd risk falling back to 8 or 9 for the chance to move up to the top 4, sure.
Okay, what about 4? What if I offered you, I said, you're going to move up to 4, no higher than 4. Which means Saar is probably gone and Klingon might be gone. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think I'll take my chances on that. I'll take 4. 4 gives you a little bit more leverage in terms of maneuverability. it gives you a chance. Again, I'm not stipulating that Klingon's the guy I want. I've been putting off like definitive opinions for months now, and the draft is still 6 weeks away, so I'm going to keep doing that. But I think four is a good spot, you know, to jump up from 7 to 4. I would take that in your like deal or no deal. I would hit the red buzzer or whatever and take it to open the briefcase on that one, I guess.
It does feel like the draft is still forever away. We're going to have to be talking about these same guys for 6 more weeks. It's just such a bummer when the team is not in the playoffs, because this would be totally off of our radar at this point. And now we're going to be talking about Donovan Klingon and Alex Saar and whoever else potentially for 6 more weeks. I also love asking you Grizzlies history questions because you seem to know just about everything. Was there a particular draft lottery in which it felt like it was as highly anticipated as this one? Maybe one where they had a chance at a top pick? Because the team's in a good position already and they're potentially adding a good player now. I guess which draft lotteries do you remember of Grizzlies history? Which ones?
Yeah, I think this is one of the least anticipated draft lotteries the Grizzlies have been a part of. I mean, the one that was most anticipated, and I won't remember like the year numerically, but it was the Greg Oden, Kevin Durant draft. The Grizzlies had the worst record in the league, so they had the number one odds. And that was a draft where people thought there were two superstars at the top at the time, in Oden and Durant. And the Grizzlies, they had a big party. It was at Flying Saucer downtown, and everyone's excited, and Eric Hasseltine's doing it, and like radio's brought live, and ESPN had a camera there to cut in live, to, you know, and all of this. And everyone was excited because they were about to get Greg Oden and Kevin Durant, and then they ended up falling to fourth, which is at that point was as far as they could fall, because they had the number one odds, and the lottery at that point was for the top three picks. So the lowest the Grizzlies could pick was fourth, and that is where they got. And that was a real, like, you know, sad trombone moment. Ended up working out okay with Mike Conley. The other one was the year of the Blake Griffin draft, and that was a watch party at Buffalo Wild Wings at Poplar Plaza, I guess. And the Grizzlies jumped up to second. And it was sort of disappointing because there was a clear number one and it wasn't clear who was number two. So they missed out on Blake Griffin, but they still jumped up and ended up that good luck was bad luck because they ended up taking Hasheem Thabeet. If they had stayed in the spot that they would have been in anyway, they probably would have ended up with Steph Curry. Those are the two I remember most. Obviously, jumping up to get Ja was the happiest like lottery scenario, but it was sort of unexpected because they were eighth going into it. People weren't really thinking they were going to jump up. And then the other one was early on when they ended up getting the second pick, but they had to send it to Detroit. And that was in the LeBron James, you know, the Darko Milicic draft.
Are you a superstitious person at all? Do you have a good luck charm? Do you believe in any of that?
I mean, I don't. How many people actually believe in that stuff? It's the kind of thing you pretend.
Chris.
It's the kind of thing people pretend to believe in for fun, which is fine, but like. No, I don't believe in superstitions or luck or any of that.
I'm actually a little offended. See, this was like when I said Kafka or whatever, and you were looking down on me for my lack of literature knowledge. And now you belittled me for like, no, here, I got to get my feelings out now. You belittled me for my lack of literature knowledge.
I wasn't trying to belittle you. That was not
you didn't actually belittle me. I'm just giving you a hard time. You did like the fact that I like Matchbox 20. That was another big one. Not a Matchbox 20 fan.
I may have struggled to keep a straight face on that one. You got me.
What's so bad about Matchbox 20?
No, nothing's so bad about Matchbox 20. They're fine. They're the definition of fine. I think don't get me in more trouble. It's fine. Matchbox 20 is fine.
And now the fact that I'm superstitious, this is actually not surprising to me that you don't believe in superstition. But I think I was going to save this for the next segment, but we'll do this now. What percentage? 1,000 Americans surveyed. What percentage do you think believe luck attributes to their success, Chris?
Well, there's a difference between what people believe and what people would say they believe. That's the thing. It's like, I think the percentage of people who would say they believe that is probably like 75, and the people percentage who actually believe that is probably like 20.
It's 72%. That's a pretty damn good guess.
Right.
And then, of course, 10% believe that it's the most important factor. That luck is the most important factor.
Well, I mean, luck. Luck is different from like superstition. Luck is just a thing you can't control. It's the thing that happens, right? I could step out of my car and like, you know, some car could run off the road and hit me. That'd be bad luck. But it's not like that's different from like, you know, superstition or thinking it will happen if I like turn my hat in the wrong way or whatever, you know, if I'm not wearing a certain lucky whatever, you know. Yeah. Luck is a reality of life, but I don't believe in superstition.
Well, I'm very superstitious. I do believe in luck. I think the Grizzlies might be due a little good luck based on the way that the season went. So I'm holding out as an optimist. And I also, you know, I'm traveling all the way to Chicago for this thing. So I really hope they don't come back with the number 10 pick. And it's a bummer and no one wants to read about any of it. So I'm hoping for the absolute best. The other thing I want to talk to you about. Did you have a chance to read Bobby Marks' like off-season guide that came out 2 days ago? He had like a plan for every team that's already been eliminated. Did you get a chance to read that yet?
I have not.
Okay. In there, he basically, and there's also a video that accompanies it on YouTube. In there, he basically suggests that because if you were to pick up Luke Kennard's $14 million team option and you were to bring in a first-round draft pick at $7.5 million, there's no way that the Grizzlies are not going to go into July 1st and be hard-capped at that point because they'd be over the first apron. There's no way that they would do that, that someone must go. Are you of that thinking as well? Someone must go before that date?
I don't know if I would be as hard and fast about it, but I've had skepticism about Luke Kennard being back at that price all season because I look at the spreadsheet and I see the same thing. And so I wouldn't say absolutely that will not happen, but I think people have assumed too much about Kennard's return based on the value of his shooting and not been skeptical enough based on the salary math. I think that's certainly true.
Is he the only option there, or is there a way you can? Because I mean, obviously you've got to open roster spots too. But like,
you can try to trade other guys and then bring back less salary. The problem there is, I don't know if they're eager to incentivize teams to take a John Conchar salary or take a Zaire Williams salary or what have you. You know, is there draft trades where you can trade down, especially if you don't jump up? If you end up with the 7-8 pick. And the guy you really like the most is off the board. Let's just say they like Klingon. I don't know. They may not. Let's just say they like Klingon, and they're picking 8, and he goes 5th or whatever. At that point, is there a trade down option that would free up money? A, if you're trading down, you're paying less for the draft pick. But then B, are you subtracting additional salary in the process of that? That's the kind of thing I would keep an eye on.
It does feel like this is a very complex puzzle, though, because I just talked to Jason Smith, and he said, you know, it'd be great to bring in Klingon or Saar or someone like that, but I want a veteran big. I think we need a veteran big. And it's interesting to watch Denver, right? Denver kind of went the route of not bringing back their veteran players and betting on their young players, and it doesn't appear to be paying off.
Like Julian Strother and Jalen Pickett, these guys aren't playing.
Right.
In this playoff series. That's right.
But bringing in a veteran big is going to be expensive. Is there any way you can bring in a veteran big that's worthwhile and also have a draft pick?
Yeah, but not and keep Kennard.
Right.
I think to me that's the real, like, you're not going to have Luke Kennard and a veteran center. To me, that's just not going to happen. And so, you know, this is why I've maintained skepticism on Kennard's return the whole time.
It does feel like that is what would you categorize as most likely, or have you even thought about that yet? Which would be the most likely route? What is the most convenient route for Zach Kleiman? Is it to just decline the Kennard option?
If you have to, yeah. I think the most convenient route for the Grizzlies is to, like, you know, draft a big and make that your big. I think it's easier to draft a big than to try to trade or sign for one. And then if the salary situation is such, you don't feel like you need to cut at that point, then, like, you know, not picking up the Kennard option is the easiest way to cut salary, certainly.
Well, you can listen to Chris and I talk every single week on the Daily Memphian Memphis Grizzlies podcast. We just returned. We had a pod yesterday that came out. We talked about the draft lottery, about all these prospects, about Tayshaun Prince as well. We didn't get to that. It was a good time. Chris and I do this often, and I'm looking forward to continue to do this summer. Soon we will have our list. Chris, you got to get to work on your list.
Oh, I've been working. I'm just not definitive yet, but the process has begun.
Okay. Well, I've got a decent idea. I don't have a list either, but you can go read the beginning of it. Chris, thank you for joining us.
All right. Thanks, man.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This Memorial Day, raise a glass to those who served. And let Blinds.com raise the bar on home decor. Serving up style with huge summer savings. Blinds.com is the better way to get custom window treatments. Online with upfront pricing and no salespeople at your door or inflated showroom prices. Upgrading your window coverings can be a minor project with a major impact. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable for you. Choose from premium blinds, shutters, motorized options, and outdoor shades for your patio. Just in time for summer fun. Blinds.com's free design experts will help you find the perfect window treatments for your home and even send free samples. Plus, you can get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost, all backed by Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day sale happening now. Save up to 50% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 50% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.